can't believe I won.
And you still got people out there with double masks and face shields and shit. Look into it.
You can tell it's real because it looks so fake.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Look Into It. Tonight, my guest is comedian, writer, and co-host of The Jimmy Dore Show. Please welcome Kurt Metzger. Take me through your journey into... You grew up on the East Coast, right? New Jersey?
Mostly Jersey. My family's from Ohio, but I grew up in Jersey. And
What part of Ohio? Cleveland?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're from Cleveland? Are you a Brown? No?
No, well, that's why I never got into football, because my old man, I never saw him happy one time on Sunday.
Dude, believe it or not, I'm a gigantic Browns fan. That's been my number one team my whole life. I wasn't born in Cleveland. I've only been to Cleveland once a few years ago. I finally went. But when I was eight, my brother he had a big baseball card collection, and I was, you know, jealous, and he liked to humiliate me. So he goes, you know what? I'll give you one card. He gave me Cleveland Indians Dennis Eckersley's rookie card. He goes, you could have them. So I just became a Cleveland fan ever since. Seriously. I'm all about the Browns. I was, you know, a baseball fan growing up. I was into the Indians. I was into basketball for a while. I was into the Cavs. But once I started smoking weed in my 20s, I dropped baseball, dropped basketball, but still kept football.
Oh, okay. No, I never got into anything. I was a nerd, dude. I have no coordination.
So you never were never followed football or anything?
Nope.
What did you want to do when you were growing up?
I wanted to draw comic books.
Really? So you were big into comics?
Yeah, and then I went to art school, and then I dropped out to do stand-up.
Okay, so what led you to do stand-up? Were your friends telling you should do stand-up because you were cracking them up in the locker room or in parking lots, or how did that go?
I went to Art Institute in Philly, and on South Street there was a club that had an open mic, so I went to try it, and it was called the Lap House. I don't know if it's maybe got opened again. I don't know. But Philly's probably different now, but when I went, it was all black clubs. So when I started, I kind of just did like black comedy clubs first.
How did that go? Did you find black audiences to be a little harder on you because you were white?
Well, I wasn't any good at it, so it's probably part of the reason they were. It was good because there was a crowd. I'll tell you the main difference when I was starting out when you go to the white rooms, there wasn't an audience for open mic. Like, black people would go to an open mic, you know?
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Otherwise, I'm sure most of the people that do stand up, the place they go open mic, it's a bunch of comics, which is not as... You know, you got to go there and make connections, I guess, but it's not as useful as having a live crowd.
Totally.
Like a packed house, you know?
Totally. So, do you remember your first bit that crushed?
That crushed?
That did, like, your best bit. Maybe not that crushed, but what was your go-to when you first started? Do you remember, like...
I had a terrible go-to. I'll tell you the first joke that I ever wrote that was, like... It did not go over. But, when I was young, there used to be this guy in my block named Uncle Charlie, and he used to rate me every day, and he'd be like real mean about it. He would go, "If you tell anyone what I did to you, I'm going to kill your parents." And so I told everyone, and he never killed my parents. So we had a deal. You don't say that to black people. that's not a good thing they like.
That's actually good.
I had problems at home, I guess.
So you started doing stand up. Were you still in art school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you graduate art school?
No, I dropped out.
And did you go to art school specifically, like, for painting, or what did you go for?
Well, the program was animation, but you do all that. You do, like, you know, it's what you think about.
So you grew up always drawing shit?
Mm-hmm.
dicks on your peachy folder and stuff like that?
I almost did. I don't know if I almost didn't graduate. They were pretty mad at me, but I did this cartoon in the school paper when I was a senior. You know, they have like a comic, like a one panel comic, you know, yeah. And I drew it one time, and I don't know what I got pissy about. Like, they made me take something off. I think I drew like somebody wearing a t-shirt that was banned at the school, and I had to change it, and I got like pissy about it. So I hid dicks in all like the folds of the clothes. When I say hide them, I didn't do a good job hiding them. Like, if you really look, I had a desk in the background and one of the legs was a dick. And, I might have even got away with it, but I like bragged about it like an idiot to people. So I got called down and they made me sit. I remember it was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days before school was going to let out. And they were furious. I mean, it like changed policy for years after that dick incident.
Yeah. You know, I think what was it, Super Bad? Was that the movie where the kid was always drawing dicks? Was it Super Bad? Yeah. I mean, it seems like that's pretty common, because I did. I always drew a dick with a big mushroom head and like drops of jizz like shooting through the air. It was just like,
I didn't include jizz in it. You actually put the jizz in.
No, I put the droplets, and then I put a little bit of hair too on the balls and in the base of the dick. That was like standard. I couldn't draw worth the shit. I drew like stick figures and stuff. That's one thing where I don't think blood gets to that part of my brain that makes art. You know,
if you want to try a drawing, it's like drawing what you see, which like anybody really can do that. It's not like it's just like a map making skill. There's like ways to learn it pretty easy.
Yeah, the crazy thing is like tattoos, man. Like people that do like portraits and like super technical and precise and tattoos. Like, how the fuck are you doing this? How are you sticking needles in skin and like it's,
yeah, well, that's hard because skin, it's not like paper, you know, skin.
Yeah. I don't get that shit.
I never do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got a shitload of tattoos. I'm like, how the fuck is this working? Where are you from, man? I was born and raised in LA. Mm. I was right here, man. Open mics for me were the comedy store back in 2001, where Joe was already, you know, established at the comedy store back then. And I was like, you know, we were hanging out and I wanted to do comedy. And, you know, so he would throw me up on Sunday nights at the comedy store. I don't know if they still have
open mics. It was 2001?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of, well, I started probably in 99.
At the comedy store?
No, in Philly, and then went to New York after that.
So what was your you did comedy? Did you get did you get a manager first, or did you book some kind of writing gig first? How did that evolve?
I started with Kevin Hart and Jay Oakerson, Big Jay Oakerson.
Kevin Hart, black dude?
Yeah.
How did you meet him?
With that Blazing Thursday's open mic in Philly.
Oh, so he was coming up too. So you knew Kevin Hart.
He started the week before me, I think.
Oh shit! Yeah. So you guys knew each other like in the beginning.
Oh yeah, he took off fat. Like Kevin was smart. Like he really was had his head on with like business and all kinds of shit that we didn't even think about. And he was already getting like good amounts of money for gigs. I couldn't believe what he got for it. College one time when we were pretty excited to get like $500 shows. Yeah. Like that was like a big deal to get like a show trainer to $500. You know, you do these colleges and the guy who's got it, he's taking most of the money and then peeling you off 500. Like that works. And I remember one time Kev's on the phone in the back seat. He goes, tell him I want 30,000. He got it. This is very early in the comedy.
Yeah.
But colleges had all this money to give, you know, so. He was smart. He went to New York first. He got acting. He did all the stuff you should do. You know, I got into it to be a jerk on.
Yeah. So he had you open for him. Would you consider that like that kind of like your first?
No, I didn't. I didn't open for him. No.
No, you didn't.
No, first break was just getting out of Philly and going to New York. I was always okay at writing. Like I probably wrote stuff that I wasn't good enough to do at the time. You know?
And you wrote for other comics or for shows right away?
Start writing for other comics, and then that's how I get work on shows, you know.
You were a comic, you were doing open mic and you were doing sets around town, but you were also writing for other comics.
Yeah, like people, you know, there'd be like roasts or something, and if you know somebody that jokes, you can write jokes for them.
So you had a knack for roasts. I was reading your biography. You did some Jeff Ross roasts and stuff, right?
I did the Charlie Sheen roast.
Oh shit! What did you write? Do you remember what you wrote? Must have been fun.
I had one Charlie Sheen did that he said to because the first time I saw Patrice, I said what we all said: why is Mike Tyson's mother here? And then for Captain Kirk, William Shatner did this one. He did it really good too. He goes, because remember Charlie Sheen had that whole, this right when all that shit was happening with him.
With the AIDS?
No, this is before it. Nobody knew he had AIDS. This is when he was
AIDS. This was
when he had tiger blood. It later turned out to be chimpanzee blood, but he goes, hey Charlie, don't feel so bad. I know another guy who was kind to whores and always hung out with 12 losers, and the Jews crucified him too.
Wow, damn.
I got 4 or 5 bits on, but the other writers on there were like killer. Oh, and then I worked with Patrice on his, but Patrice kind of went off road and he did stuff we just kind of talked about and didn't even polish. Like he actually changed the whole tone of the of that roast. If you watch it, it went from he went last, I think, because he pissed them off. They put him on last, and he like destroyed it.
Wow! And you wrote some stuff for Patrice, or
yeah? Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's awesome. He's a legend, man.
Yeah, that was the last time I got to hang out with him, like for any length of time. Was there?
Wow! So, man, you just started rolling. You're writing besides roasts, what other comedians did you write for?
I mean, a lot. Patel.
Nice.
A bunch of stuff he did. Louis on stuff that I was on, that like on Horace and Pete. I don't know if it's, I guess it counts as right, but he like halfway in the series, he would have us just like say, make up our lines if he didn't like what he wrote, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jim Norton, he had a Vice show on, before Vice was a channel, Norton had a talk show on there. I wrote on that. Jesus, I don't know, a lot. It's everybody that I probably ever like admired or in comedy, I got to write for pretty much.
Would you say writing for, would you say comedians that have writers is more prevalent now than before or vice versa?
Well, if it's for a show, you're going to have writers.
But
if I had some show I was being made, I would call up, you know, comics that I knew.
Totally. No, but I'm talking about like stand up.
Well, that's different. Like sometimes people want a couple of jokes. Like sometimes I'll write stuff for Rob Schneider, and I'll write stuff for I was supposed to do stuff for Chris Rock, but I kind of screwed that up. Not on bad terms with him, but the dates didn't line up. But here and there, you know, like people buy a joke or I'm actually out here in San Francisco with Louis. I think Louis kind of changed a lot of stuff, because it used to be people had like a set they did, and then Louis kind of made it where you got to turn your material over every year. Not that you have to, but he kind of set. I noticed a change when he started doing that, because when I was new, Seinfeld had a special called "I'm Telling You for the Last Time," and it was like the last time he was doing his set that everybody knew, and you know, so that was the way it used to be, and it kind of changed later.
Yeah. So you're saying that. I mean, generally, like with Joe, as soon as Joe, and I'm sure this is standard, right? As soon as you do a special, you basically basically can't do that material anymore, right? It's over. Right?
Well, as on a special, you can't do it again. I mean, when I did my hour, like, I don't know, 7 or 8, or I don't remember how long ago I did it, 2013. That's probably 10 years ago now. But it is 10 years ago, right? 2023. Yeah. Yes. I'm bad at math. So, when I went back on the road.
That was your last special that you did?
Yeah, on Comedy Central, yeah.
So I turn around, Brad's sitting on the bed with his pants around his ankles, like looking at me contemptuously. I mean, in fairness, could be because I did nothing to help him.
Kurt Metzger, everybody.
I was like 7 or 8. And you know, like that, the age when you're like kind of like a little, like a sociopath, kind of like, right, like hopefully nothing too bad, but you know, like you're friends with someone because they have a toy that you like. And they become your close friend, right? So I lived on this cul-de-sac. We moved around a lot, but I remember at this point we had a little money, so it was like a nice suburban kind of cul-de-sac, right? And it was half Jewish and half Christian, okay? And I was Jehovah's Witness. Yeah, and the reason that's important is there is always these like Christmas and Hanukkah. I was the only one that didn't do a Christmas or Hanukkah on the block, okay? So I had to make friends. I had a sociopath make friends if I wanted to play with any of the cool toys. Okay? And it was really weird. I remember me and my sister went through a phase of like, we started stealing. Like there were these little wrestlers, they're called Muscle, these little pink. Yeah, me and her would just steal those from the kids around the neighborhood. Christian, Jew, we didn't give a shit. We took all their Hanukkah and Christmas gifts. And our garbage pail kids were popular. And then we would just show our stuff we stole. We'd have it on the floor of my room. I like, it's probably the first time we just stopped doing it, never talked about it until I brought it up now. So I was hanging out with this kid, Josh, we'll call him, and this other kid, Brad, okay? Now, I was better friends with Josh because he had a He-Man slime pit. It was this like torture device for He-Man. It was a Skeletor device, and you would lock him in it and like dump slime, carpet ruining slime. There's no holiday that my mother would have brought that home for me with that card. And you know, they'd be like, "Don't put Beast Man for best results into the slime." We did immediately, and he's ruined forever. And in the box was skunk ore. There was a skunk one. That just smelled like a skunk. That was like, it really smelled. So nobody played. So it was just this poor skunk guy and then the Beast Man we ruined with this fucking Bukkake device. What a disgusting toy. That was our, go on, you're gonna hate this He-Man. Ugh. All over your golden blonde hair. Also, Brad, it was like a 80s movie. He's like a little fat, freckly kid that, you know, if it was like a movie, like the comic relief would be him screaming a lot because of something. He had this really wheezy scream. All the time. And then Josh, I just remember him like being like kind of spoiled. I don't remember too much else about him. I was really into this slime pit thing. Anyway, the three of us are in Josh's room one day. And now I'm probably about 8 or 9. So I was probably 9, they were 7. I was like a year or two older than them, okay? Like third grade, second grade, something like that. So we're playing with the He-Man slime pit, okay? And I guess Josh gets bored of that. So he goes, "All right, we're gonna play a new game." Okay, so he goes into his closet and he's in there for a while, okay? Like me and Brad go to start playing with his other toys while we're waiting. And he comes out with a suit that I guess he got from his dad. Because it's like, he looked like a Talking Heads guy. He was in like a big suit, okay? And he had a detective badge because his dad was a cop. And he had like an old badge or something. And he came out in like a, by the way, as a kid, it seemed like an oversized suit, but it wasn't that much bigger. Like his dad must've been a tiny Jewish cop. Anyway, he goes, "All right, we're gonna play police, okay?" We're like, "All right," because none of us had a badge or a big suit. And he goes, "All right, Brad, get on the bed. I gotta check your butt for drugs."
With comedy, you can't. It's not like music. Like music, you better play that shit again over and over. You better play your hits over and over again. You know?
Yeah, right. Comedy used to be more like that, I think.
When it comes to like Andrew Dice Clay, yes, because they wanted to hear that. Where's the bowl? You know, what's in the bowl, bitch? They went there to hear that shit. But generally, it seems like you can't really do your material that much. Maybe a couple times, because if the bit's really, really good, even people that heard it before, they told their friends about it, then they go check you out again, and they want to hear that one again that you were talking about, so their friends who hadn't heard it can see it and they enjoy it, right?
Sam Tripoli and I are coming to your town. Catch us on the road doing tinfoil hat comedy. Follow me on Instagram at tinfoil hat comedy night. February 24th, we'll be in Spokane, Washington. February 25th, we'll be in Tacoma, Washington. Go to samtripoli.com for more information and to buy your tickets. See you on the road.
You know, Joe has a bit called that. It was the Tigers. He has a bit about watching tigers fuck, and Joe's really good with animal sounds. Yeah. And it's so, have you ever heard that one? The tigers fucking bit?
You know what I heard that made me laugh a lot? I don't know what it's from. It's like an old album or something. I think it's like him and Callum lifting weights. And he's like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, fucks him. Because, like, what if I accidentally tell someone if he fucks him in the ass? Well, that was a funny sketch. I had never heard that before. My buddy played it for me.
That actually was the opening sketch for his first special, his first CD. I don't know. Hey, Hibbler, can you see if you could find that? See if you could find Joe Rogan, Brian Callen, weightlifting bit. It's so.
Right, I'll look.
But you know that part of that bit where they end up, you know, the gist of it is Joe and Brian Callen are lifting weights in the basement, and Brian Callen's kind of sad, and Joe goes, "Dude, what's going on?" And Brian's like, "You know what, my girlfriend told me my ass is flat and I'm, you know, self-conscious about it." And then Joe goes, "What is she talking about? Your ass is flat. You got a nice round ass. Come on, turn around. Let me see that ass." Goes, she's fucking crazy. She's got a nice round ass. It's all muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mom, Mikey's coming over. We're going to lift, right? So I don't want you coming down the basement bothering us.
Well, the only reason I came down there the last time was that I heard screaming.
Ma, we're lifting, all right? That's what happens, you know? You get pumped up, you scream.
Yeah, when I came down there, you had your pants down.
Look, Ma, if I want to take my pants down, I'll take my pants down, all right? We're men, you know? We get pumped up, we get crazy.
All right, if you say so.
Yeah, I do, okay? Look, that's him now, all right? So leave us alone.
Fine, I'll be upstairs if you need me.
All right, I won't. Hey, Mikey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? What's up?
All right. Hey, you ready to lift?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's get pumped. All right, what do you want to do? Want to do some chest, do some benching?
Nah, I got to do legs, maybe some squats.
Why?
Well, Angie says I got a flat ass.
What? Fuck that bitch. She said that?
Yeah.
Man, fuck her. You got a great ass.
You really think so?
Yeah, man. Don't fucking listen to her. Look, turn around. Let me see your ass. Man, that's a great ass.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's round and muscular. Look, let me see. Like, take your pants down so I can really see it.
Okay. So, what do you think?
Mikey, that is a great ass. I wouldn't lie to you. Look at yourself. You're tripping over yourself here. Standing here with your pants down by your ankles like a fucking moron. Let's take them off.
Yeah, I guess it looks kind of stupid, right?
Yeah, you're going to trip and break your fucking head open. Let me see you again. Mikey, I'm telling you, as God is my witness, that is a great ass.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's round and muscular. It's like a rock. You know what? I bet I couldn't even fit my cock in your ass. That's how muscular it is. Come on. I'm serious. Look, let me check. I can barely get the head of it in. Oh, Jesus, your fucking ass is tight. Oh, it's fucking rock hard and tight.
Oh, you really think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's fucking tight as a drum.
Ow.
Hold on a second. Oh, don't move. Don't move. Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh.
What?
Man, what? You just fucked me in the ass.
Yeah, but I'm not gay at nothing.
I know that, but what are other people gonna think?
Well, they're not gonna find out.
Well, what if they do?
Look, you and I are the only ones who know. We're not gonna tell anybody.
Well, what if I accidentally tell someone?
Don't.
What if it slips out? I don't want people thinking I'm a fag.
Look, Mikey, it's not gonna slip out.
What if I accidentally tell someone?
I'll make you a deal. If you try really hard and promise not to let it slip out, I'll suck your cock.
There it is. You know what's crazy about that?
What?
I used to DJ at a strip club. I talk about it all the goddamn time, actually. And there's a song that I used to play the strippers used to like called, it's by, remember the band Enigma?
Yeah.
Enigma, they're like spirits, like Enya.
Like monks or something, right?
Yes, like, yeah, but it has like a hip hop beat, but there's like Gregorian chants and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Like as romantic as you could fucking imagine. It's super, bitches would, they want to dance to that one in the second song, because the second song they get naked, first song they get topless.
They were dancing to Enigma?
Dude, yeah, and all just like.
That is bizarre sounding.
But this is what we do. There's a part, the song's called Mea Culpa. Let's see if I want to try to mix something. This is what I used to do. I don't know if this is possible, Hibbler, but as a strip club DJ, there's at 2 minutes and 45 seconds, the hip hop Gregorian right. dreamy music stops and there's like a little break and there all you hear is a girl like going
wait, that's mixed, that's cut in, that's not in the original. Yeah.
No, that's in the song. No, that's in the song. Yeah,
what
the song
of Gregorian like, monks are these?
Like, yeah so it's at 2 minutes 40 seconds of Mea Culpa. It breaks and then there's a woman like breathing heavy, like
light. Take a deep breath and relax.
I don't know.
I remember this.
Is this Mea Culpa?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Try going at 2:30. See what happens at 2:30.
It does sound very porno-y, like Cinemax porn.
I think this might be a hold on, let it play. This is a different mix that. Yeah, this sounds like a different mix, but I don't know if that's the right mix. I'd have to go back and look through it. So in the actual song, the music drops out, but then there's a little break and there's a woman panting all like romantically, like she's making love. At that point, I used to mix in Joe and Brian Callen having butt sex. I used to do that all the time. So everyone's expecting it to get quiet and romantic. And so you hear, and then you go, there wasn't a time that I didn't play that song, and then at that part that I didn't do that. The managers let me do it. The girls would get pissed off, but the managers
they get upset. They want to hear simulated ass fucking in there. This strip club DJ, when I used to do a punchline in Sacramento, he used to tell me, like, I forgot about this. Those dudes are coming on their lunch break to have like basketball shorts on. So they got a shirt and tie and just basketball shorts because they can like come in their pants from a lap dance. So they
100%. That was what the purpose of the strip club was.
Yeah, it's not worth it unless you could do that.
Once they brought in lap dances, they were also called couch dances in the beginning.
Yeah.
But once they brought that in, it changed the whole. I was there when they brought it in. I was working at strip club.
Wasn't always a thing.
No. It was in LA and on the West Coast. The private dances were called table dances, where you'd go. At first, table dances were a girl. she would make money two ways. She'd be on stage, she'd get naked, and then people would put tips. They would tip the table or the stage. And then after her songs, she would go around the stage and pick up her money. That's one way she got paid. Another way she got paid is by doing table dances, where you could pay a girl to dance in front of you in her bikini and her high heels right there at your table. You're watching right. the stage. So that's like $20 a song, $30 a song, whatever. And then the laws were so is that legal? Like, can a girl, can a girl dance in front of you? And they're like, you know what? They just kept pushing it. You know, it was just little by little. It was like, there's nothing that says that a woman can't dance in front of you. So, okay, we could do it. So then they did that. And then, is it illegal? Is it saying anywhere that the girl, what if the girl brushes her butt against your knee? Is that illegal? And they're like, it doesn't say anywhere that that's illegal, I guess. Okay.
But what they just gradually get closer to your dick, like they start the knee.
they just keep pushing it. And then they go, okay, can the girl giving you a table dance, can she sit on your lap for 1 second? And they're like, 1 second doesn't, you know, I don't have a problem with 1 second. Anybody have a problem with it? Doesn't say anything. We don't see anything.
Right.
You know, so then it's 1 second, then it's 2 seconds, then it's 10 seconds. And then it's like, what if they kind of like brush against your crotch? What is that? I'm like, I don't see anything. I guess that's fine. You know?
Yeah. Right. So
little by little was the evolution. And then they got to the point where, okay, what if we had like these booths and we did the same thing, but we put everybody on the side and we lined them up against the wall, you know what I mean? Give them a little more privacy. Can we do that? They're like, I don't see why not. Doesn't say you can't make booths against the back wall.
Now, wait, was there like vice cops coming in and busting any of this or not?
All the time, the time. So, but they really came in once the lap dance came in, because everybody at that point, then it became, you wanted to get a table dance, you no longer got the table dance right there where you were sitting. Table dance now means you get up and against the wall, they have like, they got all these booths. Those are table dances now. So,
well, your dick is the table. I call my dick the table.
It's so true, dude. I was working there during the evolution. And then when I got there, they were already had the booths, the table dance booths. You know, they weren't dancing at your table. That was before me. So when I got in there, it was all table dances. So
it was the 90s. Like, when did that start?
I came in 93, and this was in the Valley. I did this in the Valley at the Oddball. Sometimes it's called the Valley Ball. That's where I worked. That was the first club. And so you'd get in these booths and there's no contact. You're just like in a booth and there's like a thing where you sit and the girl gets naked in front of you. She gets naked. So she's dancing naked in front of you. No contact. But you can, I mean, the girls could, there was some gnarly girls that could reach under and do some shit, you know what I mean? Like the big thing, like getting super dirty would be the girl, if some girls got fucking crazy and they were insane. If you tipped them enough, they would go under the little door that's in front of you, because it's like it covers the middle so they could reach under. Or they would stand.
Like you're getting like Doritos that didn't fall out of the machine.
Exactly. Exactly. Or the other dirty thing they could do, they could reach under, or the customer could reach under, and who knows where that hand leads. But another thing they could do is since you're sitting down and they're standing, they'll turn around and like bend over and put their monkey right in your fucking face. You know what I mean? So that's what those dances consisted of. That was like, but then we always heard that, man, in Montreal, they fucking grind on your dick. They call it lap dances. And in Miami and Florida, they already, they were coming.
They're way ahead out there.
Yes.
So really advanced. They're very
advanced. Evidence of an advanced civilization. dude. But they just knew, you know what I mean? It was in the Georgia Guidestones. But so then we heard about this shit. And then one day I'm working the day shift and we open up at 11, and at 10:45, the manager got all the day girls, like 15 of them, and got them in the back in the office and said, hey, listen, we're going to start offering lap dances. We're going to call them couch dances, though. And all the girls were like, oh, this is going to turn into a whorehouse. They were so mad. And he was like, hey, listen, you guys don't have to do them.
Yeah.
It's all, it's voluntary. You don't have to do it, but we're going to have a couch, just one couch. It was the back of a 57 Chevy couch. Like, it was a couch, but it looked like you were sitting in the back of a, and there was just one couch and two people can sit on it. That's it. And that's where they were going to do, because you still had the table dance booths, and now they got a couch on the side. Mm-hmm. If anybody that wants to do a lap dance, couch dance, they're $30 a song. And the girls are fucking furious. They're like, oh my God, this is going to destroy the club. It's going to turn into a fucking whorehouse. They were so mad. And there was only one girl in that shift. Her name was Serenity. That was her stage name, Serenity. I'll never forget this shit. Yeah. She was like, fuck it. She was doing bachelor parties and shit. And that's normal. That's normal at a bachelor party. So she was like, I'm going to make that cash. She was the only one, dude. She was on that fucking 57 Chevy doing fucking lap dances. Like, dude, she was doing that shit all day, taking cigarette breaks. She had to take a cigarette. That was a line. Girls were pissed off because guys were, they weren't looking at the naked girl on stage. They were looking at the clothed girl giving a couch dance. And the girls on stage were pissed. Like, nobody's looking at us. Because everybody wanted a piece of that lap dance. Everybody wanted, because it was basically dry humping. And a girl sits on your
That's crotch. Really what a lap dance is a dry hump.
It's a dry hump. It's not a dance. How many dances did you do? Oh, I had a bad day. I only did 7 dances. And it's crazy. Like, their moods are so dependent on how much dick they rub. It's like, well, it's if the they're money, sad, man. Dude, if they're sad, if they're like in a pissed off mood, they've been there 4 hours and it's been a dead day. Oh, man, they're fucking furious and they're sad and they're like, fuck. You know when they're happy? It's when they got a lot of dances. They got like 25, 30 dances. Woo! They're in a great mood. It's insane, dude.
Well, I mean, it does cheer me up to rub my dick, so I get it.
So Serenity was the only girl doing it all day, taking cigarette breaks. She, dude, her legs were burnt the fuck out. But then the next day, Mercedes jumped in and said, fuck that, I'm gonna make that cash. So it was Serenity and Mercedes all day. They both did like 55 dances. They just went home. They were killing it. And then over time, little by little, inch by inch, either the girls would end up quitting because you can't compete with that. Those table dances, little by little, they started taking down a table dance and putting a couch in there. And then they took another table dance booth, boom, put another couch in there. Nobody wanted
like hotcakes,
Nobody wanted those fucking table dances no more. Little by little, and then within a year, we had like one table dance booth in the corner just in case anybody got nostalgic or something. Nobody wanted that shit. Everybody wanted the lap dance. It exploded. All the clubs in LA, Bob's Classy Lady, all the shit, the Jet Strip, Bare Elegance, everybody said, fuck it. It's a revolution. it changed everything. It changed it. Dude, lap dance has changed everything. So to answer your question in the beginning, do guys go in there to blast in their pants? That's what it's all about.
I wonder how that evolved, where somebody's like, I bet I could just wear basketball shorts and keep my tie. And that's the thing is, the dude was telling me about
basketball shorts. Yeah. Like, are they like, they're soft, like it's gotta be like something,
yeah,
like
it's that
yoga
material.
Pants, like yoga pants,
yeah. But this is, they're on their break from work, so it's like the dude would go, come on, man, you just wear a full shirt and tie and your basketball, like,
oh, dude, man, dude, there's every customer. Wanted the same thing. They all, number one, wish they could date a strip, one of the strip. If they could have a relationship with one of their favorite stripper outside of the club, every dude walking in there as a customer, that's what they want. Some guys were like, you know what? That's not a good thing to focus on because it's going to be very hard to figure out which one. They're all lying and they're all just swindling and all just taking your money. Yeah, you know, it's you would have to know somebody at the club, like, dude, which ones don't have, which one doesn't have a boyfriend?
Yeah, right. Because that one doesn't have a boyfriend. Quiet. When I was in school in Philly, I was dating a stripper, but I didn't meet her. I don't think I'd even been to a strip club at that time. But she went to my school. She was like paying her way through art school with it. So the place she danced at was in Gloucester Township, New Jersey. It was called Billy's Beef and Go-Go. And you could buy You can buy steaks there, like meat, and then they had, but it was no, they didn't do lap dances because in Jersey it's only a juice bar. I think New York, same thing. You can't get alcohol.
A lot of crazy laws, and every county got a different law. Some counties you can't have nude. Some right. You can't have nude.
Well, nude with no alcohol. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. So, you know, kind of, especially in this ratty ass part of town this club was in, like. But what the girls would do is make extra money, like flashing stuff, you know? So it's all these old guys, like, I don't know, they get like these fans that are like, they look like the guy from Sin City.
Totally.
You know, Marv, there's a bunch of Marvs there. So they'll walk them to their car. This one guy helped, what was his name? Mako. It wasn't his real name, but this dude like helped me move because he was a fan of my girlfriend. He helped me move my shit. I was like, I couldn't believe it.
That's hilarious. Yeah, every guy that comes in, that is the ultimate goal. Some guys will try to focus on that and play the long game and just like they come in and pretend like they're not there for pussy. They're like hanging out at the bar, just drinking coffee. Like, you know, I'm not going to, they never tip at the stage. They're
some of them girls
the
will go home with guys though for like, you know, especially on a slow night. That's what she told me. Like they
were. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. 100%. You got enough money. You go to strip club. You go in there, and if you want a girl, every girl has a price, you know, at the strip club, pretty much 90%. Not all of them, but and then some guys go in and just say, "Fuck it, I'm gonna go in there and I got $300. I gotta find the dirtiest girl. I'm gonna nut in my fucking pants." You know? There's some guys that are like that, right?
Yeah.
And then there's like, man, and then like every girl has like a whole different story too. One girl, she's stripping because she's stripping her way through real estate school. This other girl stripping, she came to LA, she wanted to be an actress, it's not working out, so she's just gonna strip on the side. She don't like to go on stage too much. Can you skip me? You know, they don't want to go on stage. And then you got the girl that has a couple kids. She's working to pay the fucking rent and to,
right.
You know, baby needs new shoes. You know what I mean? That's why she's stripping day to day. And then, you know, there's, there was this one stripper who was stripping until she got a record deal. She was a singer. I ended up making music with her and shit.
Oh.
Yeah. So everyone's got like their and then there's girls that, they weren't considered pretty in high school. Mm-hmm. And maybe had a terrible high school experience, but when they turned 18, they said fuck it, got a boob job, they got their fucking nose done, they put on some fucking hair extensions, and now they're with enough makeup, eyelashes, tits,
right. Oh, that light.
She's able to make it into the. She barely make it into the strip club, but in reality, she was just, you know, she's not known as a. She wasn't born with a symmetric face. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So,
but she did enough and spent enough money where she made it in. She squeezed in, but she's only working Saturday. They're only giving her the Saturday day and the Monday day shift. You know what I mean?
The lighting does a lot too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Lighting's huge. Turn off the fucking lights. You walk into a strip club.
See all them bruises all over the legs.
Dude, you walk in. That's what I used to, cause I'm not a very, a clean person. You know what I mean? I leave trash all over my car. I never dust. So, I eventually, and my house, wherever I live, was always a fucking mess. There's worse people than me, but I'm like an 8 as far as being a slob. I have friends that are like tens. They're tens and stuff. I'm not like that. I don't take it to that level, but it's pretty bad. It's pretty pretty disgusting.
Okay.
So, but what I would do if back when I was single and I was on a date, I would, you know, we'd get to my house at night or they would show up. I would straighten up everything real quick, and then dim the lights real low, just like the strip club. I learned a lot. So when they walk in, they really can't
tell. I've done that quite a lot.
Yeah, they can't
do that a lot.
But in the morning, shit, they wake up, they're going, "Oh my motherfucking
God.
Like, what? You live in this? How do you live like this?"
Yeah, then you know they're a keeper if they start helping you fix it.
Like, are you one of those guys like me that just leaves junk all over their car?
If I'm single, I'm like a complete loser. I'm not good as a single dude on any level. Like, I'm just good at what I'm good at, you know?
You wash your, when you're single, how often do you wash your bed sheets?
Well, I don't want to ruin them before my girl gets there. So it's whenever she's coming is when they get washed.
Oh, really? Oh, so you thought about washing your sheets when a girl would come over? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that, dude. I would sleep in the same sheet. 6 months, dog. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, when I was like in my 20s, I probably do, but at a certain point.
They would have holes in them and shit. I would have my bed sheets with holes in them, and they're dirty as fuck. Then once I started making a little more money, I got a Mexican to come in, you know, and she was awesome. She cleaned my shit up. She was awesome.
Yo.
And then she started bringing her kid. And I'm like, okay, you can't be bringing your fucking kid. He's going through all my shit.
How old was the kid?
He's like fucking 3. You know what I mean?
Just right.
Running around my house. Like, what is this? I didn't pay for this kid. Like, what is this kid doing here? Like, just clean my house. I had to get rid of her. She couldn't find a babysitter or something.
Right.
So, now, how did you hook up with Jimmy Dore?
I saw him on Rogan randomly, and then my friend Barry Crimmins is dead now, but he was a pretty lefty kind of cop. He's actually, I remember when he died, I was like, that was the last leftist that I like, because I fucking hated. I mean, I have the bullshit I went through with these fucking people. I hated them. But Jimmy, I was watching, and he was like, I just liked him. So and Barry had told me that he was good, but I had never seen him. But I asked Joe for his number and just started talking to him. That's how I texted him.
Now, what was it about Jimmy at this point that interests you?
Because he wasn't talking about bullshit. Like every single person, I mean, especially Barry. Like
during the scamdemic, correct?
No, this is before that.
Before that.
Because he wasn't like, you know, I know people that like anti-vaxxers, a word for everybody now, but I'm vaccinated. He's vaccinated. He got injured from his Moderna, and I don't know if he mixed and matched like a poor person or something, but he was pretty, this is according to him, not that he did anything with me, but he was pretty rabid about it. I think he had a big fight with his brother in the beginning of the pandemic because his brother wasn't isolating enough or something, or got his hair cut, and Jimmy couldn't believe it because he was afraid of catching it. And they stopped talking for a long time. And then later he got injured, and then guess what they treated him with? They put him in a study, and they gave him the horse paste you're not supposed to take. The doctor did. You know, just with Rogan, I thought that was crazy when people were mad that he said he took that, because I'm like, he didn't just go steal it from a horse. A doctor prescribed. Why are you yelling at his doctor? Like, it didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But he got injured by it. So that's why he has a bug up his ass about that. Like, and I don't blame him if I got injured by it, because, you know, you can't sue nobody. You sign a release that says, if you get injured, good luck to you.
now, you.
He just was not, he's not an identity politics guy. So all bullshit that you hear now that is called left is really not. They're all like neoliberal. It's like rich people boutique shit. And they're all, that's why they love it being your identity, you know, like your color or your what you fuck or whatever, because they're not going to pay extra taxes with that. Like, that's the reason it's all that. It's still the same shit. And he was the only guy, one of few people I saw that made any sense when they talked about it.
Yeah. And what he says it's in a lot of ways more powerful than like Alex Jones says it, like
Alex Jones. Now,
if someone says, Alex Jones said that, they already tainted Alex Jones so much that when Alex Jones says something or posts something on his website, Infowars.com, you're like, oh, that's Infowars. They got him. The fucking psychological.
I'll tell you this.
Complete. But when Jimmy says it, it's different. Because now Jimmy was, he was considered on the left for a while. He was considered like on definitely like the opposite.
He is leftist. He is though. But
and now when he says shit, it's way more powerful than Alex Jones. Because like, dude, look, when you're trying to wake people up, when you're trying to snap them out of the trance, it's more powerful when Jimmy says something that's common sense.
Yeah, well, a lot of like right kind of conservative right wing types are easier to snap out of that shit than certainly people that are. Oh, hold on, sorry, stupid fucking thing. You know, like he would get a lot of shit for that because you're supposed to not, you're supposed to like be at the right lunch table or something at school, and it is more powerful. He's just fair. So, here's a good example. I did somebody's show. And they were like, well, what does he say? Remember that Kyle Rittenhouse kid?
Yes.
So they were like, what does he think of Kyle Rittenhouse? Now, I knew that guy was going to get acquitted because I watched all the footage. It was like readily available. So I don't know if you've ever been in a self-defense thing, but I have. And I saw exactly that was self-defense. It's on tape. It's not like a whodunit mystery.
Yeah.
And a bunch of my dumb friends from New York, they tell me, oh, he's going away and this and that. So Jimmy, they were like, what does Jimmy say about it? He didn't look into it at the time, right? But when he saw the footage, look, if you look at the evidence and go, okay, well, that's all I care about. Somebody that's not going to be, you know, I don't want to hurt my team, so I'll ignore something if it hurts the overall team.
Yeah.
And what people got now is there's two, that lesser of two evils bullshit where you're like, you believe your party's the lesser of two evils and you got to do the lesser of two evil. Like, you know, I'd like to know why we don't have like maybe three or four evils to pick from. We just have two.
Yeah.
Like you could have 50 genders, but you could have two political political parties. That's it.
Yeah.
So anybody that's not tied into that fucking group thing, I'm into that. I just like above all.
Yeah. That's what drew me to Jimmy too. Like, I think Bernie Sanders is, you know, part of.
He's a punk. I always thought he was a. You know what? He was on Who Is America, Sasha's show, and Sasha was doing. We had these two characters that were, I forget their names, but we called them Libtard and Reptard. Right? We had like a right wing idiot and a left wing idiot, and so the one, his Reptard guy, was on a scooter. He was on like a mobility scooter, and he all his makeup on and he was talking to, I think the premise was Showtime was letting average Americans interview famous people for this thing. And so Bernie Sanders did it. And after he gets done talking to Sasha's character, he goes up to the producers like, I'm worried that you're exploiting this man. He said, oh, it's like he is mentally ill and you're doing this and that. And I remember being like, oh, he's sweet. He'll never be the president. He's concerned about. But now what I think is that's all for show. I think he saw through it. And then knew how to play Bernie because he's a real like dipshit. Like I don't know if he's getting blackmailed. I don't know what it is, but he's like he drops a ball in ways that are like, oh, this is like you're here to guide people into the Democrats and allay their concerns about things.
He's part of the team. He's part of the team.
He's ultimately part of the team. 100%. Yeah.
So would you like? As of today, you probably, if they mandated the jab as of today, again, like they say, okay, you got to do it again. Would you do it again or?
No, I only got two. I got two Pfizers.
But do you, do you regret it?
Yeah, I could. Look, this is just people that I know personally. The only people I know that didn't get it, didn't get jabbed.
I want that upper body clench. That's what I'm going after. With the underhook, looking for double underhooks. Fucking, that's a juicy ass clinch. Perfect double underhooks, you're on your side, boom. That's all perfect. That's huge. In my game, for me, I'm like, I got this motherfucker. First fight in Abu Dhabi 2003 against Gustavo Dantas. I got right in and got perfect double underhooks. I'm like, oh my God, I had him in a lockdown, perfect double underhook, really quick. He just gave it to me, Mike. And I was just sitting there going, oh my God, he just gave it to me. That was just off a front headlock, 100%. Push into him, you wanna smash him, and then jump on that leg. You wanna rush him, so they don't have a, so they're off balance. You jump on that leg, try to, you hook that leg, you're gonna take their back or put them in the truck. Either one. Does that make sense?
Now, well, my ex, she ended up getting it finally, but then she was fine. But, you know, at the time it was Delta, okay, which, and I smoked along. I mean, I'm vaping this crap now, so. I was like, I played the odds, right? And I go, okay, it's probably better for me to get it because of my long history of abusing my lungs. So, you know, which is a calculated decision that I made, and it's my decision to make, right? Everybody can make their own decision. I still don't understand why you would have to get it. If I got it, am I not protected? Why does it matter if you got it? And they never explain that.
Yeah.
You go in a circle, like, well, it slows the spread. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And also, or the thing of you killed grandma because you didn't is grandma not vaccinated? Does it, like, there's something goofy here where I've never heard of this, where a vaccine only works if both you and I, like, I'm getting it for other people. That's a crazy thing to say. Yeah, I got it for myself. I don't give a shit about the other people.
Yeah, all that shit that you just said right now about it not making any sense with the, if I'm vaccinated, what does it matter if anybody else is vaccinated? Like, just common sense shit, like all that shit. And then you now, you know, a couple of years or a year and a half after, looking back, if you got put in a time machine, would you still think, oh, you know what, it's probably better if I do because I had lung issues? Would you still do it? Would you do it again?
No, I wouldn't, because I probably would have been fine. Once, like, most of the people that died had, like, four. I believe the number is four.
Yeah.
I mean, double check. It's hard to know any of the goddamn shit, but four comorbidities. Yeah. So I would just do a lot of vitamin D. I would do all the stuff they didn't talk about because they wanted you to get it.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anything like that where they don't tell you about anything else except the jab. Because, okay, get it. If you're old, especially if you're over 67 or whatever, or 60 or whatever, you're supposed to get it. They should have done, like that Great Barrington Declaration. It should have been targeted vaccinations for people in those categories over the age of 60. That would have been the way to do it. And a bunch of doctors, the guy, I can't remember the guy that made the declaration, but a bunch of people said, he was from Yale. You know, it's the official government doctors were saying the opposite. Now all that shit's coming out, how they try to suppress other very respected epidemiologists in their field and make them out to be. We talked to Jay Bhattacharya. It's an Indian name. I think it's Bhattacharya. We had him on Jimmy's show. That guy's not political. In fact, that guy's not even like hostile to the Democrats in any way. Wasn't political. He just had, he's the one that did the declaration. The way they went after him and started calling him a fringe doctor is crazy.
Yeah. As time goes on, do you think, like, maybe that conspiracy theory that there's got, like, none of the shit makes sense. Like, you know, there's a conspiracy.
Which conspiracy theory?
The conspiracy theory that the jab is about depopulation and sterilizing and weakening.
Well, I think almost every conspiracy, like up to and including UFOs, is like money really. I think money is the ultimate motivator. So, you know, one, Fauci was doing, you know, we weren't doing gain of function. They do the same thing everybody does. They outsource it. So then you can go and sit and go, well, you didn't do that because we hired someone else to go get another guy to do it. That's how, by the way, every fucking thing works. That's why everything sucked, is the amount of outsourcing.
Yeah.
So once you have a bunch of people with a significant amount of money to be made, such as the pharmaceutical industry that did like record numbers, and I think people like, well, I wouldn't realize that, maybe other people, is with everything like that, it could be whatever, drugs, movies, there's a project, they, or a video game, they project how much money they're going to make. So it's not that you make a profit, it's that, did you make the projected profit? Okay. So sometimes some could do really well, like, oh, it's a failure because we told the investors we were going to get X amount, and it's under that. So this was beyond all expectations. Like they made so much money off this, and that's from fat government contracts. They sped it through that the reason you're not allowed to talk about the other drugs, whether they worked or not, is because to get that emergency approval, right, you got to have nothing else that could be a possibility. That's how the law works. So I mean, that's why they had to demonize other drugs that they should have been looking into, they demonize them because that's how you get the emergency approval. I don't know why they still have the emergency approval because we're no longer in an emergency. I mean, I guess I do know why, money. But that, you know, the whole thing is corrupt. All these people, they get paid. If you read Robert Kennedy's book about it, it's all about it. That motherfucker gets residuals like how I get from writing for shows. Fauci and all them get residual payments on these drugs when they go through. So he'll get paid off of that the rest of his life.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a big money thing. And I think it's depraved indifference. You know what
crimes,
I mean? Like
crimes against humanity. That's like people are it's genocide.
It's like, why don't we, it's like genocide is like more personal. Like we want to get you. It's more like we really don't particularly give a fuck. And you know, Mike's girlfriend, she's allergic. Some people are just allergic. I'm not. So some people are allergic to just vaccines in general. It's not that all vaccines are bad. They just have that exists. All these people are like, well, get it anyway, risk it anyway. Why? If you're a person that literally can't for medical reasons. So it's this trickle down thing of like, oh, we're doing this for the group and fuck you if it happens to fuck you over. Which is, I mean, that's not unique to pharmaceuticals. It's all over the place. There's a thing of, I mean, that's what America's built on. Like, fuck you unless it happens to me. Like, I can't give a shit about you unless the same thing happens to me. That's what the country's built on.
Yeah. I mean, there's three basic theories of how they pulled the scamdemic off. I mean, you either believe that it came from a bat or you believe it came from... gain of function research and some evil scientist leaked it, or
no, they outsource it. Look, they outsource that to China, okay, at a lab that had previous problems. And much like, I don't know, if you ever get like Levi's from Amazon and they're like not as good as the ones you got in the store because they just slapped a label on a thing from some sweatshop country at the last minute. There's a whole chain going on now that you can't properly pay attention to. Like much like all the lithium ion batteries, all the cobalt we get for batteries.
Yeah.
You see that guy on Rogan's show talking about how it's all slaves at the bottom. Yeah. All the companies go, no, we're committed to not having slaves. And yet there's slaves doing it because no one's checking. So you pay a guy to pay a guy to go to another country. And then where's the safety controls? Right. Like you're not making sure it's OK. You're assuming it's handled. And then guess what? It's not. And like you scramble to cover for it.
Yeah, so it either came from a bat, it either came from a lab, or...
from a bat and then a lab, I guess. Because the coronaviruses they're studying in bats, I thought.
No, what I meant the theory that it came from a wet market.
A lab fuck-up, 100%, yeah. I believe that.
Well, the third one is it didn't come from either. It was just all they did is hijack the flu, and they just took the flu because the test, that's a PCR test, that's the same flu test. It's the flu. And then the flu disappears.
I thought all coronaviruses, like SARS, is a little different than the flu. I thought those are different than the flu.
They bullshit, man. It's all the same shit.
I mean, I don't know enough about
apparently,
that.
Apparently, they never isolated it. It was just... I'm in the dirtiest business there is. I teach jujitsu, where it's the opposite of social distancing. We're squeezing each other as hard as we can. And then every 8 minutes, when the round is over, you rotate and you find another disgusting, sweaty guy to squeeze and smash and crush. We do that every day.
Hey, how come you don't have like cauliflower ears from that?
I have a little bit.
Oh, I see now. Is that, can that be like fixed? Like, you know, people get it like real bad?
I don't know what the latest technology is on ear plastic surgery, but I don't think you can get it fixed.
Oh, just curious.
Once it hardens, I think it's over. Unless they do some serious, super expensive, high level, you know, Illuminati type surgery. You know what I mean? Yeah. But in regards to the scamdemic, why didn't anybody from the NFL, NBA, UFC, nobody died? Like when anybody would get COVID, they would just, you know, they'd miss two games.
Well, I'll tell you what Bill Gates himself said, because we play the clip. He goes, at the time, we didn't know it was mainly a thing killing the elderly. We didn't know, which he did know. They did know that. That's a lie.
Yeah.
But guess what? Because they're not comorbid. That's why.
And then the flu disappeared. Like, you're just thinking like street gangster shit. Like, wait a minute. The flu, and guess what, boss? The flu disappeared.
If you have a natural immunity, a gangster,
wait a minute. The flu disappeared? Wait a minute. And there's people. People keep telling me that all they did is just hijack the flu. They just switched the numbers. There's nothing spreading. It's just people tested positive.
They might have done that. I don't fucking know. They could have. But where the real bullshit is mandating a thing that is experimental and you emergency approved. That's fucked up. If it fucking works, you should have the choice not to do it. Like, I really don't need to know if they did anything with the fucking flu. Like, I want to know. How come on the boosters you didn't do human testing? You know, you did 8 mice. I want to know, like,
but listen, right. if it was just the flu, then what the fuck are we doing with these vaccines then? Who cares how they tested them? If it's just the flu, it's just the flu. Like, what are we doing with these new vaccines?
I don't think it's the same as the flu. I mean, I don't think it's the same as the flu. Now, the only reason I say it is because the doctors that we had on. And I've asked this before. We're like, it's not the same. It's a little bit different than the flu, and it has to do with
I've had Dr.
Andrew how it yeah he says the Dr. same thing.
Dr. Andrew Kaufman, he's saying that no one has any fucking idea how people get sick. Like they done like he was citing these studies, and he sent me the studies. I've seen them, and I could send them to you where they took. During the Spanish flu, they were trying to figure out how it was being transmitted or whatever. And they took right. like 100 people that were sick, took their snot and injected it, dripped it in their mouth, all the snot from sick people. They did everything and no one ever got sick. So they came after that study, they go, okay, so that's not how the flu is transmitted. So Dr. Andrew Kaufman, he thinks people get sick for other reasons, like when you have the flu, you're just cleansing. You're going through a cleansing of your body.
He thinks it's not a virus?
Exactly. He thinks viruses are all bullshit.
I don't know. I don't know if I believe that.
He's fascinating. This guy, and he's not the only one. There's studies.
You can look at them. You can look at viruses.
I'll send you the study. But play that trailer right there. Check this out.
Everything your government has told you about this virus is a lie.
Trust the experts, trust the experts.
Are you afraid of the flu? Don't bother me. I mean, that's the reality of how people perceive flu. So we really do have a problem of how the world perceives influenza, and it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
Make sure you wear your mask at all times. Do your part. It is a federal crime. We catch you with that mask below your nose.
Don't ask questions.
Do what you are told. It is for your safety.
We have 33 confirmed positive tests.
COVID-19 in Thailand remains at 33.
33.
There were 33 confirmed cases in North Carolina.
33.
There was 33 everywhere.
I think that was Red Team Go. I think 33 yes. is like yeah. Red Team Go. Everybody goes, okay, let's do it. It's time.
89% until 94% of those PCR tests are false positive.
It doesn't tell you that you're sick, and it doesn't tell you that the thing you ended up with really was going to hurt you or anything like that.
Everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death.
We didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's a disease mainly of the elderly, kind of like flu is.
This isn't going to be run on CNN for a week.
No flu to be found.
You got lied to and fell for this shit.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
Why are we being pressured to add COVID, COVID, COVID?
You're exactly right. Yeah. You are correct. I should not be giving these vaccines at all.
You've been subject to propaganda and lies by people who are very well trained in how they do that.
Only one person in the entire state died from the flu.
So when you deny this stuff, or when you don't want to believe this stuff, you don't want to face reality, it's only hurting you.
They relied on people's ignorance.
Everybody sees what's going on. People woke up, man. They're not looking for anybody to save them. They're saving themselves.
There's your flu last year. Here's your flu this year. Literally doesn't even exist.
So do you remember, like, people would say this, like, you know, if you didn't get vaccinated, then what if someone you loved needed a hospital bed, but they couldn't get one?
Yeah.
As an unvaccinated person, which is a very stupid. I mean, it's if you just think for 2 seconds, that's fucking stupid. Yeah. But here's something that didn't occur to me, that only occurred to me because of Jimmy and also Rick Overton. Why is there not enough beds? Are beds ridiculously expensive to add, to have enough beds for everyone?
Yeah.
Because they make sure there's not enough on purpose, because all the hospitals are run by private equity. So they make sure, it's like how the airplanes don't have enough seats on purpose to make it maximum profitable.
Yeah.
So that's what everything's for maximum fucking profit all the time. So that's what all the propaganda is for all the time. They're sponsored by the drug companies. Everything's to maximize profit. And some things should not maybe always be that, because then you get what's called perverse incentives, right? That's what gain of function is. There's a perverse incentive to keep doing it, even though it's, why would you need to do that? Artificially mutate a virus. That's crazy. Like, even in nature, that's not what viruses do. They don't get like two new tricks.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally think virology labs are just money laundering institutions. Like, they're not studying shit. I think they're just running money through, like,
Viruses aren't like a thing that don't exist. I mean, you can look at them under a microscope. They're like, you can see bacteria, you can see viruses. They're a different thing.
You can see bacteria. There's a documentary called Terrain. Hey, Hibbler, see if you could pull up that trailer. That's what this is about. They're saying viruses, when you look at viruses, they're like, it's like looking at maggots on a dead body. Did the body die from the maggots? No, it died from something else, and then the maggots are there to clean it up. The Terrain theory is that what we're looking at, those viruses, they're actually called something else, like, I don't know. I don't even know the word, eczemos or something like that. But it's like they're maggots, and the person isn't infected. It's like cleaning it up. It's like viruses are that's the theory. I don't know shit, but I know.
I know people had AIDS. I'm pretty sure I don't think their body was cleaning itself. I think they were dying of
AIDS
virus.
Is another thing right there. Ooh, the AIDS conspiracy. That's a whole nother 2 hours. Play that real quick. Let's see what this.
This is all about fear. And if people were not afraid, you would see this disappear literally overnight.
Wait, but where's the part where he talks about viruses?
Of a virus.
This is the trailer.
Oh, I see.
It's of a virus. And there is no existence of a virus. And unfortunately, you need a child to be able to point to the emperor and say he's got no clothes on.
Once we can understand that it's a model that is bankrupt, that's built on fraud and misinterpretation, then we can liberate ourselves from it and move towards something much more truthful.
That was a short ass trailer. It's all good.
What's it called? Terrain?
Terrain. It's out already. It's you could watch it anywhere, really. He's awesome. I've had him on my podcast twice already, man.
Dude, you know what I fucking watched that ended up being like a big disappointment? I mean, not that I had a lot of appointments for it, but who's that guy, that UFO doctor with he's got like the bad skin? Greer. His name's Greer.
Yes, yes.
And I watch this Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is like where like he contacts them and they come down for like his guests. And halfway through, I'm like, oh, this is a fucking infomercial to go spend $3,500 to take one of these trips.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't believe any of that.
Yeah.
I'm not a UFO guy. I used to be. I used to, conspiracy theorists used to If you were a conspiracy theorist back in the 90s, you thought that the government was hiding UFOs and covering it up. That's what a conspiracy theorist thought. But now that's what they want you to think. They want you to think they're covering it up because they want you to believe in UFOs. They actually and they're pretending like they don't want you to believe it, but that's how they get you to believe it, by pretending that they're covering it up. They're the UFOs, it's all nonsense. I don't believe that shit anymore. I believe it. The there's just psychological operations going on all over the fucking place, all over TV. TV is just one big psychological operation tool. That's all it is. It's just movies.
Yeah, well, now it's like the, you know, I guess it was never great, but it seems like a lot worse since I was young. Like how the people running it are not as good. Like it's almost like how the old Matrix is way better than that remake that came out. You know, that new Matrix kind of sucked.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like now. It's like Matrix fucking Resurrections level Matrix, which is not that good.
Yeah.
It's not a convincing Matrix is what I'm saying.
Yeah. When 9/11 happened, for instance, did you believe the conspiracy theories that it was an inside job, or were you?
I was there. I was in New York when it happened. I got a picture, actually. I'll send you the picture if you want to see it.
Where exactly were you when it happened?
I was in Greenpoint in New York.
And like, it was just, you lived through the madness.
I can see it from my roof. Here, wait, I'll show you right now. I'll send you a fucking thing.
You could share it on your screen.
This is when, oh fuck, my background's fucking it up.
If you put it right.
Yeah, it's because the green screen.
If you put it like right next to your body, like your body will block
it. You see it?
Right there, yeah.
I was on my roof. Somebody goes, oh, did you take a selfie? There was no selfies back then. I went upstairs and my roommate goes, but yeah, so that was before the second one fell. You know, I don't know. I've heard all kinds of shit about that.
Yeah, there's so many theories. You know about Tower 7?
I know about Tower 7. You know, a whole bunch of papers came out of what they covered up right after that, which was that the Saudis were so involved, some uncle or something, they were covering for that guy. Michael Moore, when he made that Fahrenheit 9/11, and he was like, why are they so cozy with bin Laden's family? And at the time, I was like, well, the bin Ladens are probably like 72 fucking people. Like, there's an Arab family. Yeah. But, they were covering that up. And so a bunch of stuff, you know, there was nobody covering up. Nobody was like keeping you from saying that it was an inside job. There's not, you know how it is now. Well, they'll crack down on anything you say.
Yeah.
All kinds of people say all kinds of crazy shit. Nobody was cracking down. Yeah. And I think it was to cover up that thing that nobody cares about now, but it came out from Freedom of Information Act. They're covering up for the Saudi. We always got to cover for the Saudis. It's, you know, we get our fuel from them. But the stuff I've heard of Building 7 was that they had a CIA office down there or something, supposedly. So I don't really know enough about that.
Yeah.
But
the mainstream narrative is a plane hit the Tower 1, another plane hit Tower 2. They both eventually fell. But there was a third tower, and there was a bunch of other towers that got fucked up too. But the one on video, Tower 7, it fell at free fall speed and nothing hit it. No planes hit it or nothing, and it fell at
free fall speed. I wouldn't know how to judge any of, you know, when it happened, a whole bunch of people I knew were like, you know, how does steel melt at 1,000 degrees? And two Jews were seen high-fiving, like, you know, but just without even getting into any of that.
Dude, that's hilarious.
Like, one, Al-Qaeda, that's our fault that they exist. That was people we gave money to fight Russia back in the day. Those are like disgruntled freelancers. And then on top of it, why the fuck, just going to Iraq after that attack is so crazy and doesn't make any sense on the face of it.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, no, nah, you got to do that. I had no problem with it.
Yeah.
Everybody was like totally. And I mean, people were united, like all races together. Yeah, no, we got to go blow up somebody. Definitely. Somebody's got to blow up. It's all the same thing.
Dude, I had a friend who invested in a bunch of those American flags that you put on your cars. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And he would just sell them at like a corner gas station. Dude, he was
Was he also selling them to Arabs to burn?
For all your 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu merchandise, please visit 10thplanetjj.com/shop. We also got a Look Into It t-shirt that just dropped. Thank you very much for your support.
Playing both sides.
Everybody was driving around after 9/11 with their flags. That was huge. That was huge.
Well, it's just now looking back, you know, it's part of the reason when things like I met Jimmy, I remember at some point, like 10 years ago, I had to Google if we were still at war. I was like, wait, are we still in Iraq? Whatever happened with that? Like, I forgot.
Yeah.
I was like, that's weird. Why is everybody talking about like Daniel Tosh fucking rape jokes? Like, that's the thing. And there's not I have to Google if we're still at a war. So that's when, you know, like a feeling you left the oven on feeling.
Yeah. The whole Middle East is so fucking confusing.
Well, it's so confusing. I'll summarize it. Almost all the shit wrong with it is our fault. Well, I didn't do nothing, but
yeah,
that's directly a result. Like everything anybody could say bad about Iran or Iraq, that's all us and our NATO allies caused all of that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's not even like facts that somebody told me and blew my mind. It's just shit that at some point I was just willing to even look at, even though it's stuff I already knew. But then I was like, oh, I see what the trick is.
Yeah. It's so confusing because generally Muslims hate Israel, right? And it's like Israel is at war basically with the whole Middle East, correct?
Yeah, they say that, but not really. Israel's allied with us and the Saudis. And so those, you know, the ones they're massacring, the Houthi rebels in Yemen, you know, war in Yemen that we're helping the Saudis do, that's a war crime, a siege warfare.
Yeah.
It's Iran. It's like Iran and Syria are kind of with Russia, and then we're with Saudis and Israel. And all that other shit is pro wrestling to me. Like all these people at the top are all cool with, you know, the bit, like it's almost like if you're in Scientology and there's like you could be at the level of you hold those cans, yeah, and that's your whole world with Scientology. And then once you get up on the higher levels, that's when you find out about Xenu, right?
Yeah.
That's how this shit is. There's the chump narrative, which is like for me and the average idiot, which is you know, fighting for freedom or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
If you're a little bit sharper, maybe you know a little bit more about it. And then at the top, it's all like we're planning ahead to steal the fuel because we're running out of it, and we're all carving up what's left. This is the way they project profits. They project how much fuels are going to be for everybody. That's why we got the Ukraine wars, because they don't want Russia selling natural gas to Europe. We want to do that. And if they freeze to death, fuck them. Because freedom or whatever the fuck. That, I mean, the whole thing's based on just that. It's never any of the shit they say about liberty or whatever the fuck. Anybody, to still believe that, I don't even think you could be talked out of it. I think you have to like notice it on your own. I don't think, because it really is like an irrational thing to believe that we're trying to help freedom around the world.
Exactly. Exactly. What do you know about Klaus Schwab? Do you ever look into him?
Besides that, I'm one of the new WEF future people that doesn't own anything, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like a future guy.
Like what do you like? Does that guy have power? I mean, should we be concerned? Because he's saying some like New World Order crazy shit that nobody's down with. Like, should he be?
Well, people that are down with it, they're gonna arrest him. He's I think he's probably I think he's not like gonna be invited to like the Bilderberger, meeting.
I think no. Klaus Schwab is. He was running the Bilderberg meetings.
He was? I thought he wasn't there. I had a joke about it, I remember, that I gave Jimmy about don't tell Schwab. Like, you know, they all go to that WEF and then...
Yeah. Well, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure Alex Jones told me that Klaus Schwab used to be like the CEO or the head of the Bilderberg group.
I know he's a Henry Kissinger pal. I know that about him. But you can find like all kinds of stuff about him, like articles, not, I don't mean any kind of underground thing, like that are written. And he just seems like some rich jerk off that networks and connects with a bunch of other rich jerk offs. I mean, all of them.
Concerned about him? Should we just ignore him? Just ignore him. He has no power. He's just a little.
You could be concerned. I think you got no power. Like, be as concerned as you want. It ain't going to make a difference.
You don't think? Like, you don't think he's kind of getting exposed right now? No one knew who he was 2 years ago. Now, like, most people know who he is, and they look at him like.
Most people know Bill Gates. Bill Gates hung out with Epstein. How he hung out, and it don't mean shit. In fact,
but more than ever, like you compare like 3-4 years ago, Bill Gates, it's going to be harder and harder. Same thing with Fauci. Like today compared to 4 years ago, people thought Fauci man of the year, all that shit. Now, shit, more and more people are realizing.
I don't think there's going to be any consequences for anything Fauci did. I don't think there's going to be no consequences for Gates. I think if you think of like, take, for example, the disasters of Iraq and Afghanistan, okay? All those people that came, all those neocon sacks of shit that came up with going, you know, we're going to go conquer the fucking Middle East for freedom and shit, they all still have their jobs, most of them. Or they're at the very least very respected. Like George W. Bush is a war criminal who's very respected. I mean, they treat him like a hero now. Henry Kissinger was the original fucking war criminal that everybody looks up to, who's a piece of shit. So at a certain level, there ain't no consequences unless you fuck it up for the rest of the mafia. You know what I mean?
Go ahead.
If they fucked up in a way that costs the mafia, that whatever their mafia is that they're in, costs them money, then they could be, you know, like Epstein, you know, had to, he had his tragic suicide. That's after it's we can't use you no more, you know, like the network, just too much got exposed.
Demons throw each other under the bus like Illuminati.
It would have to be like that. And I don't even think the names of the groups matter. Like there's always a group of fucking real rich motherfuckers and their progeny that are going to fucking be in charge. And you call them whatever the fuck you want. I don't think they give a fuck about any affiliations. The big affiliation is I'm in the top. Not even 1%, like the 0.001%. And we got to handle, worry about our shit first. And we make alliances and do whatever to make sure we keep control of stuff. And there you go. They go to some fuck party and call it whatever you want and dress up in a goat head or whatever the fuck they do. But it doesn't really matter. What matters is these motherfuckers have most of the wealth and they're good at getting more of the wealth and taking it out of you for their little pet projects. And I'm sure there's two or three of them that are like, yeah, we got to lower the population. I don't know that there's a unified thing, but I notice people in these classes all seem to think the same automatically anyway. You know, I got a lot of shit and I don't want to have to part with any of it because it's not like the earth is going to be overpopulated. There's pretty much plenty for everybody when you think about it. The scarcity is artificial. Everybody could have a diamond if they wanted. Like the things that are going to be scarce, though, is going to be water. And the reason I say that is, you can invest in it as a commodity now. You can invest in just water, which is creepy. If you look up Investopedia and look up water, like, so that's the shit that, you know, they're already doing it now. They're already doing it now with just like stuff like water.
What do you think about Elon Musk?
I think he's going to like ultimately another Pentagon fucking dude. All that Starlink shit's with the Pentagon. And I think he's.
What about the shit he's doing with the Twitter?
Oh, I like that. But we showed his tweets. I like him exposing the shit on Twitter, you know, but he's not going to talk about like Julian Assange or Snowden. He knows not to bring that up. And his Starlink shit, that's directly involved with the military. So him like he's part of the club ultimately, you know, either way, it's just that certain factions want to have you not be able to say anything. And he's going to let you say some things, but they still, anybody tells the truth about Ukraine, you're in danger of being cracked down on still. He ain't going to stop that. And remember in Chile, that Evo Morales that got cooed, that was over lithium. In fact, somebody said that to Elon on Twitter. We showed it on Jimmy's show. And he says, we'll coup whoever we want, deal with it. Because he needs that lithium they have there too for his shit. I don't. When this EV thing happens, I don't know how it's going to work. I think they kind of know it won't. Because there's not enough electricity to power all the cars, like you know, the EV in California by 2030, those new standards they want to do. I mean, there's no way that could work. But they know that.
All I need to hear is that the government can shut your car off if you talk a little shit. I'm never going to get one of those fucking things. That'll never fucking happen. I'm burning gas till the day I die. The government, you're going to drive a car that the government can turn off if you talk shit.
You can't even get the new cars that have that Google voice shit. You can't even turn it off. It's always listening to you in the new,
yeah, like,
I don't remember what EV it is. Yeah.
I mean, it's so obvious. They're like, oh, the environment, the climate, overpopulation. That's
yeah. It's really like, you know, those people that are gluing their fucking heads to art paint, yeah, you know, yeah, paintings and shit in Europe. That's being paid for by Getty descendants.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like rich assholes doing that. Like I said, you know, when I went to China, what the big difference, or from what I could tell, is like, if you're a billionaire in China, there's really no reason to be a billionaire over a millionaire, because what are you going to do with $1 billion there that you can't do with a million? You're going to buy some extra shit made in China. What happened? The whole appeal of getting to be a billionaire is getting to throw your dick around and influence the government. In China, they don't let you do that. If you open your mouth, you'll disappear for 2 months, yeah, and come back and be like, "Hey, I shouldn't have said that." So here, it's the tail wags the dog. You got, you know, people like Bill Gates or whoever, like, if you throw enough money, look at that FTX kid that was just getting away with it. It was ridiculous what he's getting away with. You think he's not plugged into even more shit we don't know about? Of course he is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Elon Musk, you don't trust him. Why?
It's not that I don't trust him. It's not that I don't trust him. Like, one, I don't have like a billionaire. I hate the idea that I'm supposed to pick one of them and that's like my hero or my enemy. I don't know any of these fucking people. If he does stuff I like it. If he does stuff I don't like, I don't like it. But I don't have personal fucking feelings about him. I'm sure he's nice. Yeah. Who gives a shit? Like, what do these people do? And so I don't think he's the devil or Jesus. Yeah. He's just a rich guy who's within a certain parameters will allow shit with Twitter.
Yeah.
And
You think there's a chance that he was
being... He could have go against the CIA.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Or, man, it's so hard. It's like a murder mystery TV show. Like, you don't know who the fuck is for real, who is like... Because he seems to be, and this could be bullshit, he seems to be maybe waking up and... Realize
you could see it. He tweeted a thing. It was like he used to think the Democrats were like the nice party. He had I don't know. The guy is like some kind of Asperger's nerd. Like you could tell he thinks about his shit and not. First of all, why would you even think about this shit unless you like had to? I hate learning current events. I fucking hate it. I do it for work for Jimmy's, but I actually don't recommend being informed. It's a shitty way to go through life.
For sure. I get you. Do you have any kids?
No.
See, I have a kid. So when you have a kid, it's like I wish I could just fucking just ignore everything too, man. But
yeah, right.
When you have a kid, you're like, fuck, dude, I got to know the deceptions going on so I could let him know, you know?
Well, I grew up Jehovah's Witness, so I never believed in it, in the, like the government ever. Like we didn't, they taught us that God hates all the governments. He's going to destroy all of them. I always joke, like, I thought God, I was going to kill all of you like 20 years ago. That's how it was put to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, lo and behold, here we are. Everybody's still here. That's how, you know, with climate change, it's really funny how close it reminds me of Jehovah's Witnesses, because it's like Armageddon's coming any day now. You got to be ready for it any time. And it'd be like, it's not going to go even a few more years. And then all of a sudden it would go a few more years. And I noticed the same goddamn thing with climate change.
Yeah.
We only got this many years and look, it's still here. We're still here. Yeah. So
you got to scare people. Like, that's how you control them. You got to.
Yeah, I don't think that carbon's not, I don't think that all the carbon, all the shit we put in the atmosphere is not doing anything. I don't think that. I don't know how it would not do something, but everything's based on scaring you for the purpose of somebody with money that wants you to feel scared always. Yeah.
Yes.
So they always lead in the direction of fear mongering, no matter what. It's when I was a kid and they tell you about drugs, they you know, when you know, pot's a gateway drug. Well, why would it be a gateway drug? It's because you smoke and you realize it's not that big a deal and you go, oh, I wonder what else they're lying about. And then you try other shit. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Everything's always panic. And we don't have time to speak to you like you're not a moron.
Yeah.
We already statistically you're a moron. And we're going to talk to you like that and just scare you because we don't have time to worry about not insulting your intelligence. And I'm not even that smart. I'm just smart enough to be insulted by that, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. What's next for you? What, you got some big comedy things coming up?
I don't even know what theater I'm at tonight, but I'm with Louis for the next, for the rest of the week. So
that's badass, man.
We got San Francisco and then Oakland. And then I'm at Dolby Theater for two nights when I get back to LA. And then, I'm going to be at Hilarities in Cleveland on, I think the 20th and 21st.
Beautiful, beautiful, man. Yeah. How could my people get a hold of you?
Instagram, Kurt Metzger Comedy, Twitter's Kurt Metzger. I got to check on Twitter, so that's the actual me. And then KurtMetzgerComedy.com has my dates.
Beautiful, man. Kurt, thank you. Thank you for doing this, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I know you got to run. I kept you longer than you probably expected. But
no, it's good talking to you, brother.
The strip club stories were awesome.
All right, man. Be good, brother.
Thank you, dude. Have fun tonight. See ya.
The Jiu-Jitsu Dojo is the ultimate training ground for life. Jiu-Jitsu will accelerate the evolution of your being, your consciousness, your soul. Through this amazing art, you will prove to yourself that you can master anything you set your mind to.
Eddie Bravo.
I leave for Brazil tomorrow.
I'm Uroto Abu Dhabi.
Are you the Fear Factor guy?
I'm like 6 pounds over. Time to sweat it out.
Just imagine someone that has no idea how different your game is.
I'll tell you what this weekend was, man. It was a culmination point where all your hard work comes to like one great moment in time. You showed that you're a fucking champion, guy who goes against convention. You created your own shit and figured interesting ways to get around problems in jiu-jitsu. And shows you that great things are possible if you work hard, if you dedicate yourself and you use your creativity and you push through, your own human potential just goes up.
My 10th Planet Association has grown rapidly to over 70 academies worldwide, and their curriculums are all synced to 10th Planet headquarters located in downtown Los Angeles. I'm Eddie Bravo. I hope to see you on the mats.
You can tell it's real because it looks so fake.